the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. Hello and welcome to Peer Home with me, Sahan Hatshu. Well, before we begin, we'd like to offer our congratulations on the auspicious occasion of the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, the sixth infallible Shia Imam, peace be upon him, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. So on that note, it's only befitting that today we continue our discussion that we began 2 weeks ago about love, the psychology of love and its implications. And of course, we'll have other segments to our program. We'll have from here and there a report, a story, much, much more. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned to today's Pure Home.
صلي على المصطفى
اللهم صلي على المصطفى
مصطفى 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 مصطفى
Welcome back to the program. Well, we're delighted and honored to have back with us Dr. Sayyid Mohsen Fatemi to speak about love. Hello and welcome to the program.
Hello.
Dr. Sayyid Mohsen Fatemi has done his postdoctoral studies in the Department of Psychology at Harvard University. He also teaches in the Department of Psychology at Harvard. He teaches at the University of Massachusetts in Boston and the Boston Graduate School of Psychoanalysis and Western Washington University. He's also a registered psychologist and a keynote speaker at a number of international congresses, as well as a published author. He's also part of the advisory and editorial board of the American Psychological Association Encyclopedia of Critical Psychology. So it's wonderful to have you back with us. And if our viewers tuned in about 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the psychology of love. And today is a continuation of that episode that we had on love. And so let's start off, I guess, if you want, with the power of love, or maybe just a brief recap of what we talked about last time, just to get everyone else up to pace.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'd like to extend my felicitations and congratulations to you and the dear viewers on special occasions for today, the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, salawatullah alayhi, peace be upon him, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, peace be upon him. And I think that this is going to give us a great preamble for discussing and explaining about the power of love, since Prophet Muhammad is the manifestation of love. He is well known as the Prophet of Love and Peace. Understanding Prophet Muhammad epistemologically and ontologically helps us understand how Prophet Muhammad can be the harbinger of love and peace. And one of the things that he has done right from the beginning of his ordainment is to provide people with that sense of security and love internally so that they can offer to people around themselves the power of love. This philosophically and psychologically helps us understand how the beginning, the emergence of love from within yourself, would help you understand the power of love in your intrapersonal and interpersonal relationships. Prophet Muhammad began with love. He was the manifestation, the crystallization of love in his behavior and performance. Examples are when Prophet Muhammad was walking down the avenues or something, he was walking as modest as possible. Mm-hmm. He never turned down anyone's gift or something, even though that was like a spoiled date or something. Or he was never downgrading. He was never taking upon himself to put anybody down, or he was never ever condescending. Mm-hmm. He was the manifestation of decent principles of behavior and performance. The same holds true for Imam Sadiq, for example, who was helping people in an anonymous manner deep down the nights when everybody was sleeping. He was transferring the baggage and the package of help and assistance without even mentioning who he was. And Prophet Muhammad himself, in terms of his performance and behavior, was the epitome of love in terms of his transactions and interactions with people. He was always the first person to offer salam and greetings. Nobody could ever exceed him or supersede him in terms of offering salam and salutations.
And I think it's interesting for a lot of us because considering the position that he had all this humbleness, all this modesty, and,
exactly.
And still so much love.
And to confirm and corroborate what you were saying, there was an occasion that people were present for congregational prayer, and they found out that the Prophet was late, and they were surprised. Mm-hmm. So they were just trying to find out where the Prophet was, and then they you know, sort of tracked him down, and they found out that he was playing with a number of kids. Mm-hmm. Now, the truth of the matter was that the kids had come across Prophet on his way to Masjid or Mosque, and they had asked him to play with them. And Prophet honestly and openly and benevolently and candidly accepted this without saying that, well, how would you dare? I'm a prophet, you're the kids. You know, nobody, when you see the historic records of Prophet Muhammad, salawatullahi alayhi, you could always see that Prophet was never, ever downgrading in terms of I'm the prophet, you are sort of inferior or something. Mm-hmm. So he was the manifestation of true love. People always, constantly, and I'm just using the frequency adder always because the historic record is rife and brim with all these manifestations that he was always smiling. He had mm-hmm. always a smile on his complexion. And therefore, when people bumped into him, they could always find him in a state of composure, in a mm-hmm. state of tranquility. And he was the forerunner of love, of kindness, of benevolence, of the magnitude of infinite possibilities of human kindness and love. You may have heard and remember that there have been a number of occasions where those people who did not embrace the doctrine of Prophet Muhammad, mm-hmm. on purpose, they tried to make fun of him. Some of them mm-hmm. did some indecent acts like throwing garbage or something mm-hmm. against Prophet. And the demonstration of different aspects of disrespect. Mm-hmm. And in a number of occasions, when those guys got sick or something, Prophet Muhammad took it upon himself mm-hmm. to drop in their house to just, Prophet brought up, you know, those people gifts or something. And those people were, you know, shocked by this surprising mm-hmm. form of performance, and they just said, well, I can't say anything except saying that I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, or there is no prophet, you know, that prophet, I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is the real messenger of God, mm-hmm. in order to somehow compensate that sort of disrespect or something, because it was of such a tremendous, you know, positive impact in mm-hmm. terms of they were radically transformed because of what the Prophet was calling upon mm-hmm. in terms of his action and his deeds.
I mean, I think that would probably all go back to, I think we touched on this last week too, the love for the Creator and being in sync and in connection to the one God
yeah.
and the omnipotent God. And I think that's why he's showing all this love.
Well, thank you for raising this issue, because this helps us understand there is a hadith that indicates that the first light was created from the Prophet. So أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ نُورِي, which means that the first thing that God created was the light, was the illumination of Prophet Muhammad. So this philosophically demonstrates that Prophet Muhammad's ontological existence has got priority, has got some sort of hierarchical priority in terms of the essence of existence mm-hmm. to any other thing, including wisdom. Mm-hmm. So wisdom is going to stand second in terms of the hierarchy of the ontology of the Prophet's existence. Therefore, this suggests, philosophically speaking, based on this hadith and the doctrine that is embedded within that, that everything, including those stones, everything around us, plants, all of them, are necessarily in dire need of mm-hmm. getting connected to Prophet Muhammad's lightness. Mm-hmm. So even other prophets like Jesus or something, they come later in terms of the existential hierarchical ontology. So Prophet Muhammad is the mediator of grace, mm-hmm. is the mediator of grace between all objects, all forms of existence, and God. Mm-hmm. He facilitates through his light, through his ontological connectedness, mm-hmm. any sort of connectedness to God. So therefore, when we say, for example, salawat, mm-hmm. We are practically and deeply getting ourselves connected to the source of grace, and that source of grace helps us getting those sort of spiritual connectedness in a more specific manner. Mm-hmm. Prophet Muhammad is the mediator of grace for all forms of objects.
Hence,
you know,
explaining the intercession that we
exactly
see.
So and this demonstrates that when we talk about the status of Prophet, mm-hmm. not just the personality in terms of, you know, his life or something, mm-hmm. the status, philosophical status of Prophet, we can see that the status ontologically means in terms of existential aspect and manifestation has mm-hmm. got that sort of hierarchical superseding preference. Mm-hmm. Preference not in terms of what we talk about in the world of the materialism, but in the sense of the ontological preference, mm-hmm. in the sense of the grace and its manifestation. And therefore, the first light was created by God in the manifestation of the light of Prophet. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it has implications in terms of existential implications. The interesting point, as you were just mentioning, is that when we talk about Prophet and grace and existence, mm-hmm. we can see that all of them are the demonstration of love. So through a sort of connectedness to Prophet, you know, either in words or deeds, mm-hmm. or combination of both, which is going to be the impeccable, consummate manifestation of mm-hmm. a true follower, is going to help people provide themselves and people around themselves with love. So I can say something to you that may need a little bit of explanation in its process of psychological implication, is that when you look at all these theories of love and psychological aspects and explanation of love, mm-hmm. you can see that Prophet Muhammad's manifestation of love stands at the top of the list, mm-hmm. because it stands and it starts with the true love. Mm-hmm. It starts with a real manifestation of love. It starts with the preamble of love. It starts with the fact that everybody needs to be loved. This is just the lowercase, mm-hmm. but it starts with a great introduction that the existence in all its consummate quintessential forms mm-hmm. of operation is indeed in dire need of that love. So it nourishes, you know, everybody. So Prophet Muhammad's recollection, that's why we say in Salawat, helps us understand mm-hmm. and facilitate that process. And when you say Salawat, for example, you know, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, is the manifestation of that connectedness in terms of the ontology of you know, the existence. So when you recite any salawat or something, you acknowledge and ascertain that through your own existence, you are in dire need of, you know, getting connected to a more phenomenal, to a more powerful, to a stronger source of connectedness. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see a car or something that is moving, that car could be so big like a truck or something, mm-hmm. but it is going to be moving based on an engine, and that engine is the one that is going to give that car stamina and power. Mm-hmm. So we are, in terms of the essential ontological aspects, you know, fraught with you know, deficiencies, inadequacies, shortages on all of them, and Salawat helps us get that sort of connectedness. And deep down the layer, it also helps us understand how we can follow and we can, you know, abide by those manifestations in our own practice, in our own existence. And all those layers are composed of love. Mm-hmm. So through your words, through your saying, all of them is the manifestation of love. So Prophet Muhammad is the greatest manifestation.
From the source, he's the ultimate being that's been given the ultimate,
yeah.
I guess, making him the epitome of love.
So it pours itself into the epitome, the crystallization of love in people's hearts and people's minds. And imagine in a hypothetical situation, which is the greatest ideal situation for a real Islamic society, mm-hmm. that people have got that sense of love. So people who accuse Islam of any sort of terrorism or something, if they understand mm-hmm. the deep down, not from the ones that pretend that they belong to Islam, but they are extremists that have got nothing to do with Islam or something, the true, pristine, genuine form of Islam is associated with peace and love. Mm-hmm. And once you understand that, you can see that in an ideal Islamic society, in an ideal Islamic community, you could always have people that are offering love to one another. They just raise mm-hmm. the chalice of love. They share, the aspects of love mm-hmm. in their interpersonal and intrapersonal communication, deep down their houses, deep down their offices, deep down their organizations. They always have this manifestation of love. Mm-hmm. So imagine if people they are characterized by the panacea of love inspired by Prophet Muhammad. They would never see any sort of frowning or sulky or something because Prophet Muhammad salawatullah alayhi himself points out that the greatest manifestation of a believer is going to be the manifestation of love and kindness towards people, and therefore there is another hadith that if you just wake up and people around you are not experiencing that sense of comfort or something, you need to take it upon yourself to go and provide them with that sense of love, either in material sense, if you've mm-hmm. got any sort of shortage or something, you got to go and take care of that. Or if you can, sometimes you've got a neighbor, for example, who's down in the dumps, out of sorts, and you can just go and mm-hmm. drop in and say hello or something, and then you can give love. That sense of powerful, positive form of love. So love is going to be continuously, incessantly, flowing in every single corner of people's life based on the inspiration of Prophet Muhammad. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who is also connected to this topic and everything, he is also the manifestation of love in terms of, you can look at his behavior, his conversation.
Can I stop you? Imam Jafar Sadiq, we'll continue him sure. after we'll listen to our story, and then of course then yeah. we want to expand on it. It'd be a waste to kind of cut sure. you off there. So we'll be back.
The Crow and the Peacock. Once upon a time, a crow was flying in the sky when it saw a beautiful bird. The crow, which was happy to see the stranger bird, said, "O pretty bird, who are you and what are you doing here?" The bird said, "I am a peacock. I live in far-off forests of India. I came here a couple of days ago. It is a very beautiful forest." The crow asked, "Where is your nest?" The peacock pointed to a very tall tree and said, "My nest is there, and my nestlings are in the nest." The crow also pointed to a pine tree and said, "And my nestlings are there. I've come here to bring them something to eat." The peacock said, "How good. I wish we lived in the same place. I wish we were friends who accompany each other everywhere." The crow said, "How is it possible that a bird such as me live near a beautiful bird such as you?" The peacock moved its wings and said, "Don't say these words. If you like to live in the same nest with me, come with me right now." The crow didn't say anything else and went with the peacock. They went to the peacock's nest. The crow was surprised to see the peacock's large and beautiful nest. It was also astonished to see the peacock's pretty nestlings. The crow went to his nest and returned a couple of times until he could bring all its nestlings to the peacock's nest. The peacock's nestlings and the crow's nestlings were happy to see each other. The crow asks, "What should we do now?" The peacock said, "I've got a little food in my nest. Give them to the nestlings while I go to fetch some more food. We shouldn't leave the nest alone. One of us should stay in the nest." The crow said, "Okay. When you're back, it'll be my turn to go and seek for food. Now tell me, which group of nestlings should I feed first?" The peacock smiled and said, "It's up to you. Feed whichever you like." The crow said, "But I don't know what to do." The peacock smiled and said, "You should decide yourself. Feed the prettier nestlings first." The crow said, "Okay, now I know what to do. You can go." The peacock flew away from the nest to go to the forest to find some more food. The nestlings played for a while until they became tired and hungry. Then they asked the crow to feed them. The crow said loudly, "Keep quiet. I can't feed all nestlings at the same time. I should find the prettier ones." Then it looked at its own nestlings and peacock's nestlings for a while. Then it cut the fruit which was in the nest and gave them to its own nestlings. The peacock's nestlings, which didn't understand what was going on, watched the other nestlings eat their food. They were confused, but they didn't say anything. However, as soon as their mother came back, they started to make loud noises. The peacock asked, "What's the matter? Why are you making so much noise? Our guests will leave if you keep making such noise." The crow said, "It is understandable why they make noise. They haven't eaten anything." "Why? Haven't you fed my nestlings?" "No. You told me to feed the prettier nestlings. And I fed my own nestlings because for a crow, there is no one prettier than its own offsprings." This proverb is used about the people who think that whatever they have is the best one, although it doesn't seem beautiful.
Back to the program. Well, if you've just tuned in, we're speaking about the psychology of love here with Dr. Fatemi. And before the break, we were speaking about love and the Prophet being the epitome of love. And then we were going on to Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam. So let's touch on that and then kind of intertwine it with some other questions as to how we can become part of that whole circle of love and how we can give and offer that love too. So a little bit about Imam Ja'far Sadiq, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, well, in line with your interesting question, I think what we can do is we can abide by one of the prescriptive modes of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, indicating that if you want to be a true follower in terms of your performance, your deeds, your action or something, you got to take a leaf out of our book. Mm-hmm. And taking a leaf out of our book demonstrates that when you are communicating with people, in any form of interaction that you have, whether micro or macro interaction or something, mm-hmm. you need to take it upon yourself to ask this question, that are you going to provide that person with a positive acid of feeling, or are you going to sort of be depreciating, condescending, putting them down, downgrading, because those are going to be destructive in terms of self-esteem, self-confidence, emotional management, and all of them.
Going back to the expression, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us need to
yeah, exactly. And,
abide by that.
Also, even if you haven't got anything to say, you can just perform something. You see that nonverbal behavior, nonverbal communication is the manifestation of all these feelings because they're spontaneous. They demonstrate an expression of you in every single moment. Mm-hmm. So if you're infused with love, if you're experiencing phenomenologically the power of love, if you're overwhelmed by that fragrance of Prophet Muhammad's love in its ontological manifestation, mm-hmm. you would always, even in a single encounter, in a short conversation, in a sort of interaction with people, no matter how small or big mm-hmm. your words might be, you demonstrate that sense of openness, that sense of flexibility. And you see what the greatest manifestation of this love, as you just pointed out with your good question, is that you begin with forgiveness. You begin with that sort of positive approach towards everybody. Mistake is a part of life. People make mistakes. You make mistakes. So you forgive yourself and you forgive people around yourself. And you see that when you experience that forgiveness, you know, you can see, you can experience that phenomenological expansion, that ontological expansion, the sense that doors are going to be open, you know, doors are not going to be shut down. When you are devoid of forgiveness, when you're always fraught with this back and forth recursive program of, well, I'm going to do this because of this rancor, I'm going to do this because of this animosity, I'm going to do this because of that, your central command of mind, your central command of psychological experiences is going to be overwhelmed by that tenacity, by that sort of tension-stricken, tension-driven form.
Probably leaving no room for love.
Exactly, and therefore, it is going to give you that sense of abandonment inside yourself. Mm-hmm. You just turn yourself into a barren land without love. So the manifestation of Prophet Muhammad's love is that you just open up all these doors, and through that openness, you experience the fragrance of the open air, the oxygen of compassion, the oxygen of benevolence, the psychological air of flexibility all around you, and therefore you can breathe in and breathe out through that flexible, open, benevolent, munificent form of manifestation.
I think it's also, I mean, the way, the beautiful words and how you're describing it. But a lot of us, the people who are really caught up in that strife, that inner struggle of hate and revenge and so on and so forth, if you really look at the big picture and you realize if you take in this love and you get that deep, that breath of fresh air and that, it's I think ultimately, even for you yourself, you become happy and you're offering people love and you're loving yourself and loving others. It's just, it's how you attain that ultimate peace and tranquility within also. So it's a win-win situation. It's
you
not
can
only
say that again, because when you're overwhelmed by the tenacity of animosity, the tenacity of grudge and spite and rancor and all of them, you would just suffer from those excruciatingly painful experiences yourself more than anybody else, because your mind is going to be sort of controlled by the flux of that animosity. And you go home, for example, you watch a program, you have that hate right in front of you, you're gonna have some dish, for example, to enjoy. The first bite that you put in your mouth, you just come up with this image of spite or rancor or something. Mm-hmm. You're gonna read a newspaper, the image is going to pop up. So every situation is going to be inextricably, ineluctably, and unquestionably tied to that sense of hatred, spite,
and
therefore you could be just deteriorating yourself. So when you take it up on yourself and you say, well, and this is one of the manifestation of Prophet Muhammad's anniversary, the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, that is going to be promising for everybody, that you just go and do your prayer and try to forgive. Forgive yourself first, and then forgive people around yourself, because then you're going to be emancipating yourself from all these hack ties, manacles of slavery that you got yourself into, and then you experience that sense of culmination of affection and love as you experience the sense of connectedness to Prophet Muhammad.
Beautifully put. Okay, so we'll go take a break. When we come back, it's time for From Here and There. Welcome back. Well, now it's time for From Here and There with my colleague. And today, instead of Mr. Vafaju, we have Muhammad Reza Farhadikia. Let's see what he has for us today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Here and There. Let me first congratulate you on this joyous occasion, the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his progeny. To you, my Muslim brother or sister, or any monotheist watching this program. Well, let's start with the UK, where Muslims mark the anniversary, the Unity Week with Love Muhammad event. It was the sound of the Holy Quran. You know, all Muslims believe the book to be the words of God revealed to Prophet Muhammad that actually this event began with. At a time when division between Muslims is being stoked, organizers actually hoped it would be a reminder of the pillars that unite all Muslims. The Prophet of Mercy conference, an annual event that coincides with the anniversary of the birth of Prophet Muhammad and the start of the Unity Week, was organized by the World Forum for Proximity of Islamic Schools of Thought. Muslims from different cultures and sects attending the event, actually a reflection of the diverse Muslim community in the UK, actually convened and talked on different issues regarding the main topic. Also present were community leaders and politicians. In recent years, you know, it sometimes seems that the message of peace and unity has been lost. Is that correct that this initiative aims to mend? Everyone felicitates Muslim nations on birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Iran's first vice president, Ishaq Jahangiri, has congratulated his Muslim counterparts on the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. In his messages, Jahangiri expressed hope that those people facing various types of cries would resort to the lofty teachings of Islam and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and would move on the road to sympathy, compassion, peace, prosperity and tranquility. Hadith is the second source of Islam after the Holy Quran. You know, it's that great significance in the field of actually demonstrating the divine knowledge and religious laws of Islam, and which leads to human perfection. The Holy Prophet's words are attached to the divine revelation because it's considered one of the two weighty things that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has promised his nation of deliverance from straying off the straight path if they adhere to them. As you can see here, in view of this fact, we are grateful to the scholars and narrators who have maintained, saved, and recorded the prophetic words and then transferred them to the next generations until they reached up soundly. The Book of Nahjul Fasaha is considered one of the most magnificent encyclopedias that comprise this great heritage of Islam. Its Persian version has been compiled and arranged in a wonderful way by Mr. Ghulam Hussein Majidi Ansari, who has really exerted praiseworthy efforts in presenting the book, in such a handsome way, of course. The English version of the book is also arranged in an alphabetic order and contains an index showing the major topics of these honorable maxims of the Holy Prophet. I hope you're going to benefit this book's pearls and the superb maxims of the Holy Prophet. May Allah bless him and his household. Well, that's it. Thanks for watching, and back to Ms. Hakju.
Thank you so much, Mr. Fahadikya. Now it's time for a clip, and don't go away after a clip. We'll continue our discussion about love.
عاشقان ای عاشقان دل را چراغانی کنید ای می فروشان شهر را انگور مهمانی کنید معشوق من بکشوده در روی گدای خانش تا سرکشم من جرعه ای از ساغر و پیمانش بزم از تو رقص از تو طرف مطرب نوایی ساز کن در مقدم او بهترین تصنیف را باز کن مجنون بوی لیلیم در کوی او جایم کنی همچون غلام خانش زنجیر در پایم کنی ای عاشقان ای عاشقان دل را چراغانی کنی ای می فروشان شهر را انگور مهمانی کنی معشوق من بکشوده در روی گدای خانش تا سرکشم من جرعه ای از ساغر و پیمانش
Welcome back to the program. Well, after those breathtaking scenes, I think we have a lot of love for the creation and the world itself. So let's go back to, we don't have too much time left, unfortunately, but just to end off, Dr. Fatemi, we want that love. Many of us, we want to have that love. We want to be able to give that love. How can we increase that? What are some things that we can do to increase that love in our relationships?
This is going to be an inspiring question for a lot of people. Behavior is the person is the function of the person and the environment. Mm-hmm. So we got to work on two sides at least. One is the person, which is going to be associated with working on this, which is going to be associated with lots of things in terms of your internal assets. Mm-hmm. What we can do, for example, is instead of a look on deficiencies, on shortages, on what you have, on what you do not have, on what is missing, you can concentrate and marshal your forces on what you have. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about what is instead of what is missing, you would just see yourself in a different mode. Mm-hmm. You would see yourself blossoming. You would see yourself fully functioning.
So this is love for yourself? This is going to help you?
This is going to help you as well, because if you, for example, if you're in your home and you always focus on what is missing in your life, you don't have this, you don't have that, therefore, your feelings, mm-hmm. you know, whether your emotional or physical feelings, are going to be associated with some sort of tension or something. Mm-hmm. But at least you can ask yourself, what went well in my life today? What is it that I had, for example? Maybe I just had a good conversation with somebody. Maybe I read, you know, from the smallest things in the world mm-hmm. to other things that you could be oblivious to, you can begin with what you have instead of what you don't have. And therefore, this is going to give rise to some secondary factor, which is going to be coupled with thankfulness and gratitude. You're mm-hmm. going to be thankful towards people around yourself. You're going to express your gratitude. And always this gratitude, as you have in your Friday, you know, in your prayer, mm-hmm. right after prayer, you say, Tasbihat Hazrat Zahra, which is going to be associated well with Alhamdulillah. You know, you just express your gratitude, your mm-hmm. thankfulness to God, which is going to be manifestation of love. Because if your mind, if your psychological dynamic mechanisms, you know, is always associated with a sense of connectedness, with a sense of instead of focusing on what is missing, mm-hmm. you focus on what you have. This is going to be the manifestation of grace. This is going to help you open up your eyes and ears and focus on things around yourself in a positive manner. Mm-hmm. Your perspective counts, your perspective makes a difference. So a shift of perspective can develop a sense of love. Along with these personal factors, you can always focus on the environmental factors. If you're always rubbing elbows with people around yourself who are always whining and complaining and, you know, they always pour into your hearts and minds some sort of deficiency or negativity, you would just, at the end of the day, the lesson that you take is, well, I don't have the following, I should have had those, I wish I had, and therefore, people around yourself, environmental factors, ecological factors, would have a tremendous positive or negative impact in terms of developmental aspect of love.
So first, the primary one that we're focusing on is internally, to internally build yourself so as to be optimistic, to be grateful, to have that beauty within and to appreciate what you have, to look,
yeah.
I guess.
And from an optimistic perspective, we do not want to suggest that you just go and have a naive, frivolous mm-hmm. sort of things that if your car conks out, you just get out of the car and say, well, the car hasn't conked out. Everything is going, you know, it's a manifestation of, instead of getting entangled by the intense feelings and emotions, you would always change them into a more appropriate form of emotion. You can see Prophet Muhammad himself was the manifestation of, you know, experiencing lots of hardship, lots of ups and downs, but the response again came from the power of love. Mm-hmm. You know, people, instead of welcoming Prophet right at the beginning of his ordainment, they tried to put him down, they tried to make fun of him or something, but the response was not a retaliatory response. The response was, you know, an open, welcoming approach. And that gives us an example that you can always take a leaf out of Prophet's book. And that example is that you can always try to come up with peaceful, ironic, amiable responses. And those responses are going to enlighten your environment, are going to festoon your climatic conditions, are going to beautify your communication with people around yourself. So when you have that cold winter of indifference, when you have that sense of animosity, when you have that sense of tension in your relationship, when you have that sort of accumulation of all those negative factors, then you just come up with this sense of grace from Prophet Muhammad, and you say, well, I'm going to take it upon myself to let the love flow in every single aspect of my interaction with people around myself.
Mm-hmm. So I think basically the takeaway is, again, at the beginning we were saying to be connected, that connectedness, and to take from Prophet Muhammad what God, that love that he's instilled in him. And so we need to start from within and obviously follow. Thank you so much, Dr. Fatemeh, for being with us, and to dear viewers for inviting us into your home. Don't forget, go on our website, sahartv.ir, and drop us a line, an email. We'd appreciate your comments. purehome@sahartv.ir is our email. Until next time, goodbye, and God bless.